Aretha Franklin, U2. This church is weird. And I love it. It's awesome. But chances are that may have felt a little strange, a little awkward to you. And if that did, buckle up, because it's about to get a little weirder. Because you see, I spend a majority of my time in student ministries. As Glenn said, my name is Ryan Chibley. I'm the director of student ministries here. So during the week, I spend a majority of my time with our middle school and our high school students and our college and young adults as well. And I figured if I get a chance to come up and lead a sermon, why not start that sermon in a way we would probably start a sermon in student ministry world? So we're going to play a little game together. So hopefully everyone's ready to go. So buckle in. If you two and Aretha Franklin are weird, it's just going to get weirder from here. So stay on board with me. But we're going to play a little game this morning called Love Song or Worship Song. All right? And what I want to do is I've pulled some lyrics to songs. Because as I surveyed songs, not only that maybe we sing on a weekend or that may have been popular over the years, there's similar themes in these songs to the point where it's sometimes hard to tell, is this a love song or a worship song? So we're going to play a little game together. You can keep score in your PAG or whatever as you're playing, see how well you do. So I'm gonna pull up some lyrics here for you. All right, so our first lyrics. I need your loving in my life. You're the only one whose love is better than life. That alone made me uncomfortable. I don't know about you. That lyrics made me a little uncomfortable. But I want you to stop for a second. Is that a love song or a worship song? Raise your hand with me if you think I took these lyrics from a love song. Raise your hand for me. A few of you. All right, it's a good portion. People are thinking about it. All right, raise your hand if you think this is a worship song. All right, put your hands down. Thank you. Raise your hand now if you didn't participate because this is too weird for you. All right? A few of you in the back. I appreciate the honesty. That's awesome. All right, so where did these come from? This is a worship song. This is Jesus I Long by Hillsong United. All right? So we'll try it again. If you didn't get that one, don't worry. You get another try. All right? I can see that you are the one for me. You're the only one I really need. Love song, worship song. Raise your hand for me if you think I took this from a love song. All right? You can put your hands down. Raise your hand if you think this is a worship song. All right, excellent. So where did these ones come from? This is a love song. This is I Need Love by NSYNC. Little late 90s reference for you. Glenn, I didn't judge your playlist. Don't judge mine. All right? All right, so Glenn, let's be fair here. All right? Excellent. All right, so I got one more of these for you. One more of these. I'm coming to you for the love that I need. I'm desperate for your touch. Love song, worship song. Raise your hand with me if you think this is a love song. All right, raise your hand if you think this is a worship song. All right, y'all catching on how this game works, right? All right, excellent. So what did we get this from? Oh, this is a worship song. This is Seeking You by Hillsong United. And so I start with this game. Well done, by the way, if you got even any of those, well done. If you got all three, Glenn will buy you coffee in the cafe after the service. So you can keep that in mind. But I start with this game to point out these similar themes in music. Because there's something about music, even if it doesn't fit into this category of Christian or of church or of worship, there's still these themes that constantly seem to arise. There's something about music that pulls at our hearts, no matter where it comes from. It's the reason why decades later, we can listen to John Lennon say, "Imagine all the people living life in peace," and we go, "Yeah, I want that still." It's the reason why you could cram a room full of total strangers and all it takes is playing Journey's Don't Stop Believin' for you to create the most unified choir you've ever seen in your life. All it takes for people to hear is "Just a Small Town Girl." All right, I need a moment for our non-singers. You got to participate too. Some of you are all like, this is church. This is church. Well, again, you got to buckle in. All right. So, we'll try that again. All right. So, here we go. It's like all it would take is for people to hear Journey's Don't Stop Believing, right? Like, all it takes is for people to hear Just a Small Town Girl. Better. All right. Thank you. All right. See, that's all it takes. But, like, people are unified behind that. Or it's the reason why Drake can come on the radio saying, "Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me." Now, I know I lost a good portion of you on that last reference. All right, a few of you were with me, and that's awesome. That's also the second Drake reference in the worship service. But to pause for a moment and explain for those of you who are not keeping up. All right, so Drake is one of the most popular music artists of our time right now. And Drake started off a couple of decades ago on a TV show, on a small TV show, on like a teen drama. But he left that to pursue hip-hop. And so, like, he started with just a little bit of fame, and now he's one of the most popular artists of our time, right? Like he started from the bottom, and now he's here. And, like, eight of you laughed at that because you realize that's now our third Drake lyric reference, according to the service. So whoever keeps track of Good Shepherd history, mark it down. Today was the day that we mentioned Drake three times in a service. It was also probably the one and only time the director of student ministries got to preach on a weekend. So we'll see what happens. But music affects us, right? I remember a moment when music really affected me. You see, when I was in college, I was part of a gospel choir, which I know is obvious, because one look at me and you think, gospel choir, right? Makes sense. The truth is I joined gospel choir because there was a really cute girl in it. She married me 4 years later, so it all worked out in my favor. That's a different sermon, different story for another day. But I was part of a gospel choir at Carthage College up in Wisconsin. And at Carthage, we had the opportunity with our gospel choir to be the opening act at a concert for a gospel and R&B artist by the name of Mavis Staples. If you're not familiar with Mavis Staples, you need to write that down. You need to go home and listen to this immediately. Mavis Staples, this incredible gospel and R&B artist. And kind of the act in between us and Mavis Staples was another gospel group you may have heard of called the Blind Boys of Alabama. And in this concert, most of us at Carthage kind of looked at each other going, we do not belong here. But we had the opportunity after we opened up the concert to be able to sit and kind of take the rest of it all in. And I remember it took about three beats of Mavis Staples singing before my heart just exploded. There was something about her music, about her lyrics, that dug deep into my soul, even before she ever mentioned the name Jesus. Even before she sang anything resembling a church song, my heart was drawn in. Why is that? I think there's something about music, no matter what genre it comes from, no matter what kind of category we put it in, whether it's Christian or secular, whatever really that would even mean. There's something about music that draws us in. That's why we listen to it. It affects us on a deeper level. Yeah, we might like the beat and the band might be fun, but there's oftentimes something about lyrics that draw us in. Why is that so true? Well, I think the answer to that starts in an Old Testament book called Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is written by a king named Solomon. And Solomon is considered to be one of the wisest kings in all of Israel. And Solomon set out to do a kind of a science experiment. Solomon wanted to see what does it take to have the most fulfilled life. And I encourage you on your own time to go in and read this entire book. It's not too long. It wouldn't take you a ton of time, but there's so much wisdom in it. I think Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes apply thousands of years ago, and they apply today. Because Solomon is asking the question, what does it take to fulfill this longing in my heart? And so Solomon seeks out power and influence and riches and everything else he could think of to say, is this the thing that will fill that hole in my heart? But along the way, he says this. He starts to discover this truth that he builds on more and more as the book goes on. But he says these words, he, meaning God. So God has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Solomon writes that there's something in our hearts or in our souls that is missing. And it's designed that way by God, so that we will seek him out. Because if we just could fulfill life on our own, we don't need a relationship with God. But as his creation, we are created to have a relationship with God. He desires that connection with us. But Solomon and his own journey and so many of us try to fill that hole with other things. We hear the song from U2. Bono sings about that he climbs mountains. He runs through fields. He climbs city walls. But he still hasn't found what he's looking for. He's longing for something else because what he's doing isn't fulfilling him. You and I could probably write our own verses to that song, right? We could add on to Bono's words. Maybe for you it's, I built a great company and my paycheck got really huge. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Students, you know, you might say, I worked really hard and I got the best GPA. I'm going to go to the college of my dreams. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Parents, you might say, I got my kids into all the right sports teams and clubs and extracurricular things and all the right groups, and we bought a house in the right neighborhood. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There is this longing, this ache inside all of us. And we seek after things, sometimes things that aren't bad in and of themselves, but they're not God. And sometimes we seek after them things and try to fill that hole in our heart with things that are harmful and dangerous and destructive. And that's definitely not God. But no matter which way we're looking, if it's not God, it ultimately leaves us longing. It leaves us saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. So maybe what we need to do is to be honest for a moment. It's a thing we stress heavily in our student ministries and in our young adult ministries. That what if in this moment we were willing to be honest with ourselves, be honest with God, maybe even, it's a little bit riskier, be willing to be honest with people around you in your own life, to say something is missing. I need something. Because you see, we seek after position and power and influence in the right neighborhood and the right grades and the right job, similar to Solomon did. But really, if we're honest with ourselves, what we crave is grace and love and acceptance and freedom. We're held down. We need something to hold on to. We need our lives transformed. And God's the only one who could do that. Now, there's a way that could probably be said better, and it's from the man who wrote the U2 song that we heard. Now, this would be the awesome moment where I would welcome out Bono, and he would join us. We don't have that kind of budget. But I do have a video clip I want you guys to watch, so let's watch this together.
As I look through the scriptures, I just see a bunch of the dodgiest people ever collected in one place. Yes. Murderers, adulterers, egomaniacs. I mean, they sound like most of my friends. They sound like me. And I mean, David's treatment of Bathsheba's husband, it's mind-blowing that he had such darkness in him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he murders. He gets her sent to the front line to get the husband out of the way so he can take advantage of the missus. I mean, it's mind-blowing. This same character,
right,
through the alchemy,
right,
that is grace and redemption. We know God doesn't have favorites, but if he has, you think it might be David. and you think, well, how? Mm. And for me, it's revealed in the Psalms of David, the honesty, whether he wrote them or not, or attributed to them, they are marked by honesty.
Sure.
And I want to argue the case for artists or potential artists who might be listening in on our conversation and are not giving expression to what's really going on in their life because they feel it will give the wrong impression of them. We don't have to please God in any other way, really, other than to be brutally honest.
Sure.
That is the root, not just to a relationship with God, but it's the root to a great song. In fact, it's the only place you can find a great song. It's the only place you can find any work of art of merit.
We don't have to please God in any other way except to be brutally honest with him. So we can come to God and say, God, what is going on in my life? It leaves me longing. God, I need something that only you can provide. Maybe today is the day that you need to be honest with God. Maybe for the first time. To say to God, God, all I want and all I need can only come from you. Because I look at my life and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You see, a few thousand years ago, a term arose to talk about God. And they would speak about the kingdom of God. And it didn't just mean this kingdom with castles that God would set up, but it meant not only the person and being of God himself, but it meant the presence of God amongst people. And so people started debating and questioning, what is the kingdom of God going to be like? What is it going to be like when God's presence is really amongst all the people? In fact, when Jesus begins his public ministry, some of his first words are, turn to God, because the kingdom of God is near. It's here, right now, amongst you. Jesus calls us to be a part of something. But you see, the nature of the kingdom of God for us as people is that it's already, and yet it's not yet. You see, it's already, meaning that it is available to you right now. The power, presence, grace, freedom, and love of God is available to you right now, and it will transform your life. But if you're like me, you know that, but you look around at the world around you and say, something still isn't right. It's one of my problems with kind of contemporary Christian music, right? A lot of this contemporary Christian music gives me this impression of, I've got Jesus, and he's my best friend, and all my problems went away, and life is a party. Woo! It doesn't always work for me, because I look around at my world, and I say, it's not a party all the time. You see, I love Jesus, but if I'm honest, and I'm a little transparent, I wake up every day wrestling with a disease called clinical depression. You know, my parents growing up, they loved Jesus, and their marriage fell apart. I love Jesus. Our family loves Jesus, and I'm terrified some days to send my kids to school. I love Jesus, and I weep for the world around me. We love Jesus, and kids are dying because they don't think they have any value. There's something still missing. The kingdom of God is already, it's here now, and yet it's not yet. It's not fully, it's not complete. So when we know Jesus, when we trust Jesus, when we experience Jesus, we move from longing to waiting. We're waiting. We're aching for the day when God's kingdom will fully come. The words from Bono, the day that all the colors, everything bleeds into one, when everyone can experience the freedom and grace and love and forgiveness. And so right now we live in that tension of already and not yet. And so where are you at on that spectrum? Maybe today, for the first time, be honest with God and say, God, I long for something that only you can give me. Or maybe you're over here and saying, God, I love you and I trust you, but things are messed up. So I'm waiting. I'm going to trust. I'm going to hope. I'm going to pray. Maybe even partner with you a little bit, God, and bring your kingdom here. That's why we pray, right? Your kingdom come on earth, here, now, as it is in heaven. We are waiting for God to do more. Look at the world around us. It takes about half a second of looking around or watching the news for you to agree that things aren't exactly the way they're supposed to be right now. We still haven't fully found what we're looking for. We're waiting on God, but we're trusting in God. That's why the words of John in the New Testament matter so much to me. See, John is one of Jesus' earliest followers. And in addition to writing his gospel, the Gospel of John, you know, his telling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he also writes some letters in the New Testament, letters to some of the earliest Christians, and letters that still matter to us today. And in that letter, John writes these words that I think are so important. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. John writes to those earliest readers and to us today to say, you are invited to recognize the truth that you belong to God. You are a child of God. but also recognize that, yes, it's about here and now, but it's also about eternity. That we trust and hope and look forward to the day when we can fully experience and celebrate with God. But in this moment now, even if we haven't fully found and seen what we're looking for, we trust in one simple truth, that God loves. The very first words that John starts with, see how much God loves us, that he calls us his children. God loves. In the midst of our longing, God loves. In the midst of our struggles, God loves. In the midst of our addiction and our times of hopelessness, our anxiety and stress and depression, God loves. In the midst of waiting and looking around at the world and weeping and all of the uncertainty, God loves. And even in the moments when we doubt he even exists, God loves. So what are you looking for? Are you longing for God? Then this morning, let this be the moment when you are brutally honest with God and say, God, I am tired of chasing after other things. I'm tired of focusing my love on other things. I need you. And maybe you know that truth and that freedom, and you're waiting. And you're saying, God, I wait, and I hope, and I trust, and I rely on you in the midst of everything. Wherever you're at on that, trust that God loves. It's the most overused and misunderstood phrase, that God loves us. Chances are many of us grew up singing songs in church about how Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's phrases we hear all the time, but recognize the importance of it, that God loves. Wherever you're at, whatever you're looking for, God loves. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you offer us freedom, that you offer us grace, that you offer us love, even though we don't deserve it. And God, in this room, we are needing different things. But God, I just pray that we would be honest with you, that we would cry out to you, that whatever we've been chasing after in our life, the thing that leaves us saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I pray that we would realize that your kingdom is here with us now, and your kingdom will be fully with us forever. Help us to trust in your love. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.